want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to TNT Thursday Night Truth Show with not Dale Gillespie. My apologies, folks. Dale is out of town this week. I am Ed Springsteen. I own the MVM Radio Network and LouisvillePolitics.com. Please check that out for all the latest in news. And I tell you, you know, Dale likes to talk about liberty and freedom and Constitution and blah, 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 blah. Well, I like those things, too. So hopefully we'll get along a little bit tonight. For those of you who don't know and have had your head in the sand for a long time now, we have been spending the last couple of weeks as a network, literally every host on here, including our good friend Ken Moman at Liberty Unbridled, our Sunday night show, have been spending our time talking about these asinine, idiotic political stunts that they are using called gun control. Folks, gun control is a myth. There has never been anything remotely resembling what the ultra-left liberals want to call gun control that would stop or change anything that has been happening with all of these shootings. And I tell you, there's the science is behind me. I would love to sit here and tell you folks I'm wrong, that we can make a law that would vanish and completely, you know, make every idiotic criminal just disappear, take all the guns away from everybody, and crime would disappear. Well, I would love to tell you we live in this utopia, but there's not enough illegal drugs in the world to make me relax that much to lie to you that way and actually believe it. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the ultra-left liberals have got to be on drugs. There's no other way to describe the venom that's coming out of their mouth. We have people like Democratic Texas Party leaders saying that we should be shooting NRA members. We've got others like Hollywood actress Mark Helgenberger that says NRA members should be shot. These are the liberals who are out there. Mark Helgenberger made her claim to fame playing a TV series like China Beach, which was about the Vietnam War, full of guns, full of violence, full of death, full of death, full of murder. But we need to shoot NRA members. Democratic Party activists shoot NRA members? Come on, folks. It's those kind of radical left idiots that make me understand exactly why I choose to be a gun owner in the first place. That's why. Because those radical nut jobs are the ones who are doing all the killings. Those radical nut jobs are the ones who are preaching hate and violence. Those radical nut jobs, those ultra-left radical nut jobs, are the ones who are causing this problem. It's not me and you. It's not the legal gun owners. It's not the folks who actually have respect for the weapon. It's not the folks who have respect for their fellow man. The folks who have respect for their fellow man and the folks who respect their weapons and the folks who believe in human life aren't the ones out there doing the killing. We've got to figure that out. We have a Second Amendment for a reason. If you don't think that an armed militia keeps the government in check, you need to leave the USA. You really do. Because I tell you why. Our own government leaders, like Barack Obama, who loves to go out there surrounded by Secret Service who are carrying fully automatic Uzis, we're not allowed to carry, would love nothing better than to take the guns away from all of us. That's it. Your radical left wants the guns gone so they can control us and make us fall more in line with their radical agendas. If we are unarmed, the takeover of freedom in America will be swift. It's already fast now. How much faster do we want it to get? The radical left, Dianne Feinstein and the others like her, continue to want to sit out here and talk about we need assault weapons bans. Well, as we've mentioned on previous shows, fully automatic assault weapons have been banned for over 50 years. So they want to ban the semi-automatic weapons. They say that once that happens, that this will preserve life. Unfortunately for these guys, history tells us that's a lie. That's a lie. Federal assault weapons ban we had for 10 years. It started in Clinton and ended in 2004. And according to a research report submitted to the United States Department of Justice and the National Institute of Justice, a research report submitted to them in 2004 found that if there was any difference on gun violence at all, by keeping this ban in place, the effects would likely be very small, and the effects would be too small for reliable measurement. Why did they come to that conclusion? Because rifles in general, including the assault rifles or assault weapons like the 223 Bushmaster we're hearing so much about today, are rarely used in gun crimes. Now, that's one report, folks. That's just one report. You want more? We'll go out there. The enormous killing power that's out there on the streets right now for virtually anybody to buy or obtain. This is what Feinstein had mentioned last week. So if we want to look exclusively at mass shootings, these are the things that normally call for the gun control, right? Your Aurora home shooter with James Holmes, in Aurora, Colorado, I should say, Newtown, Connecticut, with Adam Lanza, insert name here. You know, Dianne Feinstein says that this is the problem. So if we're going to look at these mass shootings, then we need to look at the real story. According to crime stats compiled by Northeastern University professor, the Census Bureau, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they said the mass shooting since the 1980s has fluctuated annually, but there has not been any trend up or down, including when the ban was in place from 94 to 2004. Alarmingly, from 1985 to 1994, there were 173 mass shootings and 766 victims, according to these reports. From 1995 to 2004, because that was when the assault ban was in place, from 1995 to 2004, there were 182 mass shootings and 830 victims. Did anybody catch that? Before the assault ban was in place in the 10 years prior, there were 173 shootings and 766 victims. During the assault ban phase, there were 182 shootings and 830 victims. So the assault weapons ban did what? Absolutely nothing. The numbers went up. This is why we have to call BS on these congressmen. This is why. Because they want to feed us this garbage, just like John Yarmuth tried to feed us garbage last week, or 2 weeks ago, rather, when he said he knows that there's no gun law that would have changed anything that happened in Connecticut, but he still wants to put out new gun laws. Dianne Feinstein, John Yarmuth, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, insert name here. When you look at the liberal left, that's what we continue to see. Let's take away something else that doesn't do a darn thing, but we hide and say we're doing it for our children, and everybody buys it, and we get more control, and we can put in another radical agenda that's going to destroy America. I don't like it, folks. I wish it was different. I wish I could tell you everything you wanted to hear. I wish there was a magic pill. I wish there was some type of marijuana that would erase my memory so that I could sit here and lie to you and tell you how rosy the picture is. It's not. You guys want to call in tonight, 858-683-1326, 502-805-0334 are the numbers. You can join the chat room right now. The IOL IM instant message service, or the AOL instant message service, I should say, I will have up and running in just a minute. You can instant message at myviewmatters@AOL.com. You know, we want to hear from you. For you guys who are listening live in the queue right now, there's always a bunch of you, and we appreciate each and every one of you. But make sure you hit that one on your dial pad so that we know to bring you on air. You know, so what do you folks have to say about this? What do you say about the guns? You know, do we really have this problem? Because this makes no sense to me. This makes no sense. You know, in 2005, after we had one full year of the assault weapons ban being gone, because it ended in 2004, all right, everybody said with this ban disappearing, we were going to have all of these major killings, police killings, gun crimes were going to surge to record levels. But oh, by the way, the numbers actually declined. You know, we had all these people out there, these Brady Bill movement people. Sarah Brady, one of the nation's leading gun control advocates, said the streets were going to go crazy. They were going to be filled with AK-47s. You can't stop it. They're going to have AK-47s and Uzis, rampant murder, bloodshed. They sold us doomsday. The sky is falling. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. You know? At the same report from 2005, the FBI announced that the number of murders nationwide had fell by 3.6% the first year that the assault weapons ban was dropped. It was the first drop since 1999. Murders kept on declining after it ended. For you people who think that concealed carry doesn't work, think again. Chicago has the strictest gun laws in the world, or at least in the United States. And their crime is one of the worst crime rates there are, including gun crimes. The legal people can't get them. That's what makes it so interesting. There's 43 states that had their own assault weapons bans. And they saw a smaller drop in murders than the 43 than the states that had no assault weapon bans. The people who are banning assault weapons, I apologize. The seven states that had their own assault weapons bans saw a smaller drop in murders than the 43 states who do not have assault weapons bans. So not having a ban actually reduced crime. Is that not? Is that not true? It has to. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. And that's what makes it all interesting when we continue to see the liberal left playing the same silly game that they continue to play, like they're doing right now with this Newtown shooting. The same thing they tried right after Aurora, Colorado. You know, you often hear people say, well, I'll get my guns when they can pry them out of my cold, dead hands. This is why. Because the gun is the equalizer. It doesn't matter whether you want to own a gun or you don't want to own a gun. But you don't have the right to tell me I can't own a gun. Or you don't have the right to take my guns away from me, Mr. Congressman or Congresswoman, so that you can act like you're doing something just so you can keep your damn job. It's crazy. Even research funded by the Justice Department under the Clinton administration concluded that the effect of the assault weapon bans on gun violence was very uncertain. When they looked at crime data from 1982 through 2000, which of course included the first 6 years of the assault weapon ban that we used to have, they came to the conclusion, this is the Clinton Justice Department that he funded. They came to the conclusion that they could not clearly credit the ban with any of the nation's drop in gun violence. Pretty interesting information, isn't it? And that's why we exist. So we can bring you the truth. So we can bring you the truth. So let's look at the reality here. Let's look at the reality here. Oh, let's see what we've got here. Roy Nation is in the chat room. Our whole nation is founded on the Second Amendment, Roy. You might not like it, but our whole nation is founded on the Constitution. They have not changed the Second Amendment or the Constitution to tell me I can't own a gun. They're trying to outlaw something that's not causing any problems. So how do you figure that this is misinformation? See, that's the problem with a lot of people. They don't like the truth, so here we go. Anyway, bottom line. You cannot continue sitting here and using the fallacy that by eliminating a certain number of guns or downsizing the clips that nobody's going to be killed. And the reason for that is you cannot regulate intent. You can't do it. Human beings are going to do what they want to do. These shooters have mental problems. That's where you have to start and stop. That's where you have to start and stop. What is causing these people to devalue society or devalue life so bad that they don't have a problem shooting others and taking them out. See, that's what gets most of us. That's what gets me anyway. And when I look at where this country is headed, you know, the hope and change that Obama tried to promise everybody in 2008, he got it right. He got the hope and change he wanted. We're hoping that something changes in the near future before America is completely gone, or at least freedom in America as we know it. So we have to do this. Roy Nation, yes, Nancy Lanza had the guns. Yes, she taught her mentally unstable son to shoot those guns. Yes, she was a survivalist who believed the world was going to end violently. She had a mentally unstable son, and she put him in a position to be able to do this. So his mother had the guns, but he stole the guns. They weren't his guns. They were his mom's. So she's got some capability here, too, or some culpability, I should say, here, too. That's not a point I'm making for you. That's just the way it is. Roy Nation, call in. I'll talk to you on air. I'd love to. 858-683-1326, 502-804-0334. We'll be right back, folks. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this. But we also want to talk a little bit about this so-called fiscal cliff. Fiscal cliff. Let's find out who's to blame here for the financial crisis as well. We'll get into more of this in just a minute. You're listening to the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. my apologies, folks. I had to take a couple minute break there. For those of you who can't tell, this Kentucky crud, which is what I now refer to this sickness, has been going around forever, is still fighting with me and my voice, so I apologize. We had to get a little something to drink, kind of take a little pressure off the throat. In the meantime, getting back on topic, Roy Nation tries to make the point that what if his mother didn't have those guns? 28 people would be alive today. The same old boring liberal argument I've been fighting for weeks now. Don't take it personal, Roy, but the fact of the matter is he stole the guns from his mother. I don't care if he stole them from his mom, his next-door neighbor, the guy around the street. He used criminal means to obtain the guns because he had criminal intent to kill people. You're not going to stop that criminal. We continually prove that. Criminals don't respect the law. Criminals don't respect any law. Criminals only think of what they want, and they're going to react on it. The question, what if his mother didn't have those guns, is irrelevant. If his mother didn't have those guns, somebody else did. He could have stolen them anywhere. He didn't have to steal from his mom. He could have stolen them from anybody that owned a gun. You're not going to get rid of 300 million guns in America. It's not going to happen. It's just not. So we can continue going back and forth and, you know, continue going back and forth. But the reality is, if he wanted a gun, he was going to get it. It's that simple. He actually applied for a gun at a Connecticut gun shop, but he didn't want to wait 14 days for the waiting period. There was nothing preventing him. So existing laws actually worked. Existing laws actually worked. They prevented him from going out and buying a gun to be used in that situation right away when he was angry. They worked. So he stole them. Proving once again, you can't regulate intent. Go to LouisvillePolitics.com. You can read every angle there is. We've done multiple stories on this over the last 2 weeks. Check out the shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. Go in there. Look at the logic. Look at the rationale. Look at the studies. Look at what's actually being reported. Not here in the U.S. The U.S. doesn't report. All right? And here's the next question. I guess we're going to stay on this subject for a minute, because here's the next question. And I love this. I really do, because I like the back and forth. If the gun laws are so good in the states, why are there so many homicides in the states compared to the whole world? Have you checked out the UK stats, Roy Nation? Have you checked out those statistics? They're one of the biggest gun-free places in the whole world. Take Piers Morgan out of the mix because he's an idiot. But check out the UK stats. They're supposed to be gun-free. See what their homicides are compared to ours. Check out how free they feel. That's a good comparison. Do the math. Follow it up. You know, the whole world can do anything they want to do. I don't care about the whole world. They're not my problem. I care about right here in the good old USA. And I am more concerned with an armed government, an armed police force against unarmed citizens than I am concerned that my next door neighbor might have a semi-automatic gun. Take that for what it's worth. I'm not the United Nations. I don't care about the rest of the world. Period. Period. And you continue to try to make the point in the chat room about homicides in the USA. Look at the places in the USA who have the highest homicide rates. Look at it. Look at the places in the USA who have the highest homicide rates. Chicago doesn't believe in concealed carry. I've used them as an example many times. Barack Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Eric Holder, the whole Chicago Mafia boys. Let's look at the reality here. And what happens in Chicago? They've got some of the highest homicide rates in the country. They've certainly got one of the highest crime rates in the country, the highest crime rates by guns in the country. And nobody has guns but the criminals. So there we go. There we go. We've got to start looking at this realistically, folks. The people who are screaming for gun control are the same ones who typically don't have to worry about that anyway. those in Congress anyway. The reality is, if you want to control somebody, disarm them. If you want to own somebody, have a force that's superior to theirs. You will make them succumb to anything you want. The song we just played is I'd Rather Die by Poker Face during the intermission. Think about that. I'd rather die than be your slave. That's actually a pretty good statement. I'm not going to be a slave to anybody. I'm going to stand and defend what's rightfully mine. And if that means I've got to shoot somebody between the eyes to stand and defend my family or my property, I will do so. I've earned it. The criminal has no obligation to anything. The criminal has no right to anything that I have. None. None. The criminal has no right. Period. You know, as Independent Kentucky, our good friend Michael Lewis over at Independent Kentucky is pointing out, most people are criminals before they kill someone. This is true. You don't just randomly wake up one day and say, oh, well, I think I'll go ahead and kill somebody today and become a criminal all at the same time. And that's how you get there. That's not the way it works. It's just not. So, you know, we've got to look at this. The lies on the assault weapons are out there. We tried the assault weapon ban, you know, the semi-automatic and assault weapon ban. I'm tired of these people lying about we have to ban all assault weapons, the fully automatic weapons, because they've been banned for 50 years. They have nothing to do with anything. Just be honest. Be open-minded. Talk about the truth. The truth. That's it. That's all we've ever asked. That's all we're bringing to you now. You don't have to like the message. You don't have to like the messenger. But we're going to bring the message and put that messenger out there anyway. Period. That's just the way it is. You know, it doesn't matter where you get the weapon from. If you want to kill someone, you're going to. It doesn't have to be a gun, be a rock, baseball bat. You know, you can kill somebody with a teaspoon of water. If you do it right. A teaspoon of water can kill somebody if it's done right. So explain to me how the logic applies here, because it doesn't apply. And that's what makes it so laughable when I hear the left talking about this. Well, if mommy didn't have the guns, if guns weren't available to people, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what keeps me safe in my home at night is because people don't know what I've got on the other side of that door. And quite honestly, if they did, it'd probably scare the hell out of them. I know what I've got on the other side of that door, and I love the collection. I love it. Doesn't make me feel more manly, but it certainly makes me feel more secure. And I know how to use it. I know how to use it. And most gun owners are law-abiding people. Most cops are good cops. But they went out last week and spread 137 bullets around. Nobody knows where they ended up. How many innocent people could have been killed by that? Does that make these cops, every cop, a bad cop? Or were these cops just idiots that were on some kind of a Clint Eastwood godlike mission? I don't know. I don't know. Have no clue. But does that make them any better than I am? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I've got the right to protect myself. I think I've got the right to protect my family. And if I choose to have a gun as a weapon of choice to do so, so be it. I have no desire to go out and shoot anybody. I was in the military and never desired that. I'm a veteran, for goodness sake. I would have done it if I needed to defend myself, but it's not certainly anything that I look forward to. And most normal, you know, mentally healthy people feel the same. They don't own guns to go shoot somebody. They own guns in the hopes that they don't have to shoot somebody. And that's cool with me. That's cool with me. In other news, though, folks, you know, let's start looking at the reality of what's really going on in this country. Why do you think it is that so many people feel so worthless, so little, have no value for human life whatsoever, that they feel it's okay to go out and do something like that in the first place. Do you think people are happy right now in America? Do you think that Americans feel like they have a shot at the American dream? Do you think that people are comfortable living the way that we're living in America today on borrowed money? Do you think that people feel like they can afford their mortgages or even afford to buy food in a lot of cases? You know, there's a lot there to look at. What causes the mindset of people? What has happened in America today to where we have no value for human life, to where we have no self-esteem whatsoever, to where we feel like we don't have to have any personal responsibility for our actions or our choices? So what is going on that causes you to go out there and want to cause harm to other people? Why is that? We've always been a nation of people that are haves and people that are have-nots. The American dream has always been that if you go out and you work hard, you do things the right way, you're going to get ahead in this world. But a serious percentage of the people no longer believe that. A serious percentage of the people, especially our youth, no longer believe that. They don't believe in the American dream. What they see is a future of servitude. Our good friend Roy Nation logged out. I guess he wasn't happy because nobody was agreeing with him. That's okay. His choice. But people in this country have become indentured servants. That's just the way it is. When you're born in this country, you're over $30,000 in debt. When you die in this country, you owe a lot more than that. We don't have a constitution per se that we go by. We have a contract with America that we go by. Every day somebody is born, they're used as collateral for more money. Don't believe me, look it up. We have a lot of good friends out there that can tell you all about it. Our good friends over at Stop Invisible Taxes, Paul Holliger. He's a dynamite guy to talk to. A research fanatic. This guy can send you places that'll scare the hell out of you. But you're not going to hear these things in America. American news doesn't care. They are to blame with a lot of what's going on today. You think I'm lying? They spent all this time over the last few weeks in a gun control mess trying to sell us on the fact that we need to get rid of semi-automatic weapons and we need to downsize clips. Telling us at the same time that we've got this fiscal cliff looming and everybody's going to be poor and die from starvation. They haven't done anything to tell us the real stories. Let's go to the phones. I think this is actually Michael Lewis. How are you, sir?
Ed, my good friend, how are you?
I'm pretty good, man. Ranting and raving on Dale's dime tonight. How you been?
Hey, you know what? That's why I called in. No Dale. I figured you was covering for him. I didn't hear the beginning story. And then our friend Roy in the chat room was talking a whole bunch of nonsense. I figured I'd get on here and invite him on here for a debate, but then you scared him off. What happened?
Well, you know, I asked him to call in a few minutes ago. People like that don't want to be heard. They want to go out and try to start trouble. And, hey, no offense. He's entitled to his opinion. Thank God I live in America. God bless America. We've all got our own opinions. We're entitled to. But that certainly doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and agree with you. And it certainly doesn't mean I'm going to kiss your butt because you listen to this show or read LouisvillePolitics.com. Or insert anything here. I'm not a butt kisser. I've never been that way. You know, you're gonna.
That's a good thing, man. But I tell you what, it's so funny because you could tell how misinformed he actually was. I mean, dude, he was getting spoon fed MSNBC bullcrap, man. There's nothing.
Rachel Mancow. Yeah, Rachel Mancow. Chris
you know
Matthews.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, check this out. I'm gonna tell you a story. I almost sold my rifle today. I have one of these horrible black rifles that nobody likes. I almost sold it today because, you know, I'm an opportunist, and the price on these guns are skyrocketing. My liberal Democrat wife told me not to sell it.
Good.
Yeah. She said, hey, I like that thing. You leave it right here. That keeps us safe.
Mm-hmm. So, that's why I love Ash, man. She don't fall into all this hype. And, you know, that's the thing. I was checking some of these prices on eBay earlier, Michael, and I'll tell you what, I was laughing. And, you know, I know a guy who actually has already went out and purchased 10 AR-15s.
That's
because he bought them for the future.
Yeah,
they're going to be resold at more money.
Right.
They're not taking anything off the market. Everybody is into this buyer's thing now where, oh, my God, they're going to take them. Let's get them while we can. You know, and I just find it funny. They're not going to get these guns. America is not going to. Let me ask you something, because, you know, we have taken a lot of crap in America over the last 20 years from idiotic people who have no business calling themselves leaders. You can take from Barack Obama. You can go back to George Bush. All right, so don't call me a partisan hack, because there you go. This bipartisan knock, okay? One Republican, one Democrat, they're both full of garbage, in my opinion. But when you look at what's going on in the last 20 years, Americans have taken a lot of garbage. Do you think we're going to let them take our guns, too?
I think there is no chance in hell. And I tell you what, one of the main reasons why I called in was the Senator Feinstein from California. Have you had a chance to jump into that yet?
Well,
it kind of goes with your question. That's why I'm asking. Have you read any of that yet?
I have read quite a bit on Dianne Feinstein. What do you got?
Man, the thing that I'm getting hung up on most is that they want gun owners, legal gun owners,
mm-hmm.
that are grandfathered in, they still want us to register everything. They want us to mm-hmm. have everything on file. To me, now, I live in Kentucky. I don't know how it is in other states, but we don't even have to register anything here. The only thing we got to do is pass the background checks and everything else when we go to buy a firearm. If it's, you know, if it's at a store or from a dealer, if it's a private sale, we don't have to do that. You know, I don't necessarily want to register my guns because, you know what, I don't want to end up in the newspaper either.
That's another story as well, because, you know, one thing about it, too, when we talk about registering our guns, anytime you buy a gun legally through a gun shop, they do the background check. And at that point, you're flagged anyway. So you're already registered whether you like it or not. Excuse me, folks, that came out of nowhere. But, you know, when you look at this, though, you know, I buy most of the guns I've bought through gun shops. So I've had to pass the background checks and all that stuff. And I know that every gun I've purchased through a gun shop is registered in one form or another, no matter what they tell you. If they do a background check, you can bet there's a red flag somewhere that says Ed Springsteen owns this gun, this gun, this gun, this gun, or that gun. Okay? That's just the way it is. Now, when you talk about the gun shows and stuff, now see, here's the problem for me. Because, you know, one of the things that we always talk about is consistency across the board. And I personally, now this is my personal opinion, people call me this ultra-right-wing Christian guy and all this other crap all they want to, but I'm a common-sense conservative is what I like to call myself. Call me the CCC, okay? But here's what we've got. If we're going to go to a gun shop to buy our weapon, and we've got to pass a background check, and that background check is done in 10 minutes, folks. It doesn't take longer than that, okay? I see no problem at all with forcing these people that run these big old gun shows to have the same setup. All it is making a phone call or having an internet connection. In today's day and age, with cell phones and everything else, even if you don't have an internet connection at these gun shows, everybody there has got a cell phone. You just have to call the number, give them your license number. They do the background check for you, and either they walk out with a gun or they don't.
Now let me ask you this, because this is my understanding of the gun show loophole. It's mm-hmm. not the person going in there to the dealers. Now, I know there's been video of, you know, hey, can I buy this gun? Hey, I'm a felon. I'm not going to pass a background check. And there's dealers that break the law every day, mm-hmm. just like anybody. There's always going to be people that break the law. But what I understand is the gun show loophole is the private sellers, the people that bring their guns in there to trade. They don't trade them with the dealer. They see somebody else walking down the aisle and they trade with them. Is my understanding there is no, right? And it's my understanding that there is no real loophole. There may be people breaking the law. Dealers that have legal licenses that should have been doing it that way are breaking the law. But there really is no gun show loophole other than private citizens selling those arms between each other.
Let me ask you this. Now, there's a lot of people that will hate me asking this or even bringing this thing up. You know, you're liberty-minded people, and I do consider myself liberty-minded, but again, I want to be fair across the board. We have to find some way to compromise on this issue. But when you go to a gun show, you have security there. Everywhere you go anymore is full of security. You have people watching you from the time you walk in the door to the time you leave. So
right.
If you're in a gun show, if you're going to a gun show and you're purchasing weapons and everything else, should you not have a receipt or a bill of sale on your person when you buy that weapon?
I think that's a
so what's
a
wrong?
Fair
so what's
compromise.
Wrong? So what's wrong on your way out the door? If they're going to check you on the way in, they can ask you on the way out the door. Walmart greeters used to do this till just a couple of months ago.
Right.
They have somebody at the doors of Walmart when you were leaving. They say, "Can I see your receipt?" And they check your stuff on the way out the door. That was just for a box of cereal or a can of tomato juice.
Right.
We can't use the same logic at a gun show. Now, I know that flies in the face to a lot of liberty-minded people. But at the same time, it would give us consistency across the board. It would show a willingness by the ultra-right to sit here and understand that a compromise is needed. And it might save the whole argument of having to take our guns away, because right now they're hiding behind the gun shows.
Right.
And killing the kids. Even though people like John Yarmuth went public and said there's no law that would have prevented this, I'm still going to make new laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we could go off on that. And you know, I don't – this is me speaking just as a private individual, not affiliated with anybody. But listen, man, I'm pro-gun. I'm anti-death. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We have an administration, and it was happening before. It's going to happen now. It's going to happen no matter who is in after. But we're doing drone strikes in like 30 countries. You can't tell me some innocent kids haven't died in some of these drone strikes. You know, as much as I love my guns, I'm from the country. I like to hunt. I like to shoot at squirrels, rabbits, deer, turkey.
Sure.
You know, that's me. I like to target shoot. It's what I do. But you know what? Coming after it ain't going to work. It's just not going to happen. And the legislation that they're trying to pass, this Feinstein or however you pronounce her
name,
and I apologize for not pronouncing it right. Like I said, I don't stay up on national issues that much. But,
oh, no,
you know, that bill is garbage. It is complete garbage. What they're trying to do is they're just trying, you know, hey, I hate to say it, but this is Dale's show normally. It's a conspiracy, in my opinion, and I don't even like conspiracies or the theories. I don't buy into them that much, but something's up here, you know, because this is not the normal knee-jerk reactions. I mean, I understand the initial knee-jerk reaction with all the emotion, but now it just seems political. Since it happened, everything is political. They're just trying to get these guns away. And you know, like you know, the first way to take control of the citizens is disarm them. You know, isn't that what Nazi Germany said, or Adolf Hitler to his people or whatever?
Well, see, and that's exactly the point, Michael. I mean, that's a fantastic point to bring up. You know, to start with, these drone strikes you're talking about are very serious. So this is what makes the left so hypocritical. You can go to globalpolitics.com and look at the hypocritical left. I put a big old article on it the other day. We also discussed it last week. But when we look at the liberal left, I mean, it's very hypocritical to say that we don't believe in a death penalty, but they cheer when Osama bin Laden was killed. He was a murderer. But we don't believe in a death penalty for murderers here in the U.S. We want to give them life in prison. That's hypocritical. It's a double standard. When we look at the drone strikes, all the children around the world who are being killed by these unmanned aircraft, and Barack Obama's hunkering down in the White House watching these drones kill these kids on TV and getting a rush out of it, okay, we don't have any problem with that. But you take a lone gunman and send him into a school and shoot our six-year-olds, we got a problem with that. You know, that's hypocritical. You know, that's that double standard. And that's the thing that really drives me nuts. And then you go on forward and you get into Dianne Feinstein and what she's doing now. You know, every one of these damn politicians who are out there screaming for gun control, gun control, gun control, have all admitted, including Dianne Feinstein, that these shootings won't be prevented by downsizing the gun. The early reports coming out of Newtown, and they were verified by the media in the UK, not here in the USA, folks. The media in the USA does not want to give you all the information. They want to feed you whatever they can feed you to fit their own agenda, which is a liberal agenda. But the UK reported that Adam Lanza, the shooter in Newtown, Connecticut, when he was found, he had two handguns on him, that they actually found the .223 Bushmaster in his car when they were searching his car after this event happened, and he had already committed suicide. And then the mainstream media picked that up, but within 2 hours, they changed their story and said that he used the .223 to shoot everybody dead. We still don't have a credible report that justifies or verifies that Adam Lanza used this .223 Bushmaster. We do, however, in the case of William Spengel, the guy who lit his own house on fire to draw first responder firemen into his daggone neighborhood and into his house to put out the fire, then opened up fire on them using a .223. That one's verified. But again, here you have a criminal who committed arson to draw in first responders to do, in his words, in his letter that he left, in his words, he said, because he wanted to do what he does best, and that's killing people. So where's the gun to fault?
Well, I mean, hey, let's serious business here. Let's talk about the issue of our judicial system and how horrible that is. Here's a guy that killed, what did he kill, his grandmother?
Okay.
Is that what it was? Did he killed his grandmother that gave him manslaughter? You know, and he didn't kill her, like, I think the report that I read, it was pretty brutal, like with an axe or something. And he gets manslaughtered.
He had actually beat her to death. He was up on murder. They planned it out, brought it down to manslaughter. I think his initial term was 17 years, and he got paroled. But, yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, and then we find out that he killed his sister. She was in her 60s. He killed his sister in that house before he set it on fire. So he committed murder, set the fire to cover the murder, then decided to take pot shots at the fireman because he liked killing people, in his own words. Now, how do you prevent something like that, Michael? I mean, let's look at the reality here. Even if he didn't shoot the firefighters, he murdered someone by beating them to death inside the home. If that didn't kill him, he burned the house, said he wanted to burn up the whole neighborhood. And there was, if I'm not mistaken, the last number I believe I saw was 9 houses in the neighborhood were burned because of this. Now, I could be wrong. It might have been 7 or 9. I can't remember which number at the top of my head. But, you know, when we look at this, so here's a guy who committed murder, who committed arson with the intent to murder and kill without ever touching a gun. The gun was added later as another avenue towards his end game, which was to kill more people. And our good friend Stop It inside the chat room said it was a hammer that was used. So, you know, he used a hammer. So here we go. Here we go. We've got a guy who just murdered people with the intent to murder more people through fire. He beat somebody dead, wanted to murder more people through fire, and used a gun to kill even more. So the gun wasn't the problem here, was it? It was a human being and the intent, correct?
And that's correct.
So how do we make laws to prevent that?
Ban the damn hammer.
There you go. Well, our good friend Paul over Stop It, you know, put in an excellent link in the chat room last night and compared vehicle deaths to gun deaths. What today in America causes more deaths? A vehicle or a gun? Do we need to go back to horses? Well, we can't go back to horses because I think it was last year or the year before there was a judge in Shelby County who had horses and was loading a horse up into the trailer. The horse bucked and hit the judge in his head and killed him. His own horse killed him with his back leg. So we can't go back to horses. They might kill you too.
Freak accident. I remember that story. You know,
why I remember that story is because our good friend Jake over at DeVille Voice, who actually tried to go public, and I should have sued him for libel and slander, but I didn't do it. But he actually tried to say this judge was a source that was doing all the work on a Jim King case. I was just presenting the case. He was actually doing the legal work. I've never met the guy in my life. Didn't know anything about this guy. But he decided he wanted to try to play that. He libeled and slandered me. I should have went after him for it. I didn't bother with it, but I thought it was laughable. But, you know, that's how I found the story.
Now,
it's a bizarre.
Who are you talking about again?
I think the guy's name was...
No, you said Jake. Who is that guy?
Oh, Jake Payne over at Bill Voice and Page One. This guy likes a lot. Yeah, he likes a libel and slander. No stuff he's never heard in his life. But that's beside the point. But that's how I found out about that story in the first place. And I'm trying to remember what the judge's name was now. I can't even remember. I'll figure it out sooner or later. But it was funny because this judge got hit in the head. kicked in the head by the pine feet of his horse while he was loading his horse up in the trailer and was dead. So there's a murder weapon, folks. We have to kill all the horses now. Make Japan happy. They eat a lot of horse meat. But, you know, what do you do? So let's see if we've got this right. We've got to ban hammers because we know they can kill grandma. We've got to ban vehicles because they know they can kill anything. We've got to ban guns because, you know, they can shoot on their own, too. We've got to ban horses. Oh, dogs can bite you and you can die of rabies, so let's eliminate all dogs.
Might as well add the spoon. It's making us all fat and obese.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I mean, we already got the coke straightened out in New York City, so we're all going to be skinny here before too long. All these things are in, and this is the problem with the knee-jerk reactions.
Hey, by the way, Ed, I'll be in New York City in February. I'm thinking about smuggling in some big 44-ounce drinks. What do you think Michael Bloomberg would think about that?
I think I'd do it. I'd bring the cups with me and fill them up there and have a TV news crew there taking pictures. I'll buy the 44-ounce cups for you, my friend. Take a whole couple of sleeves with you.
I'm so disappointed in Michael Bloomberg. It is just unreal. You know, we
why?
Why am I disappointed?
Yeah.
Because I can't even say what I say, what I'd like to say.
Let me tell you, I love Michael Bloomberg. I love Mark Schellenberger. I love George Clooney. I love all of these people that have money that are sitting in these elected positions who are out there screaming about gun control and a woman's right to choose and all the other crap. And that's another hypocrisy there, too. I love these guys. Could I tell you why? Before any of these people got their damn money, they were conservatives. Now that they've got their money, they want to tell the whole world what to do for their own gain and their own good.
Now,
those
don't forget.
Those loud mouths are great for people like me because they make me right
every
time they open them out.
These are the same people that are walking around with armed bodyguards.
Oh, yeah.
That are talking about the guns. Mm-hmm. They're walking around with armed bodyguards. Bloomberg, I'm sure Clooney walks around with a bodyguard. Nobody of his status is going to walk around without a bodyguard.
No.
You know what I mean?
And that's what makes it so beautiful, Michael, because when they do this stuff, they've got their hypocrisy on full view for the world to see. And anybody with half a brain can see that. It just has to be pointed out.
But it's those guys
that make me relevant. Go ahead.
It's just never going to stop, though. Like, with social media, and what I do in politics, you know, I try to keep up with the social media. I really hate social media because I'm a guy that would rather be outside in the woods doing something, hanging out with family or something. But
right.
Social media is a necessary evil for people to stay in touch and to market and everything else. But we run, you know, Twitter and Facebook and everything else, and I just cannot believe the people that I'm seeing that are picking up this gun control issue and running with it, and they're running uninformed. They're using horrible statistics. Me and you had a conversation last week. I told you some guy was quoting about West Germany statistics.
Yep.
That's over 20 years ago, dude. Let's get something relevant. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's no doubt.
It's just, to me, that is the problem. Nobody will sit down and have a discussion. I've tried to discuss it. I've tried to be open-minded. I've even said, hey, I don't want any kind of gun control, but I'll listen. But nobody else on either side, maybe this is my independent view here, is willing to sit down and have the discussion, because it's going to be a big discussion. It can't just be about gun control. It has to be about the process. It has to be about other things that affect the gun. You know, people's mental health.
Well, that's the whole thing, though, Michael, because this isn't about gun control anyway. The argument for or against guns has never been about gun control. It's been about control, period. Take gun out of the mix. It's just the next weapon, if you will, that they want to use to make us subservient to their end gain. And that's it. There's a game going on in this world, especially in this country, and we're nothing more than the pawns in the game of chess that they're playing. The guns are just one more avenue to use that. If they were serious and they want to start screaming and hollering and whining and crying about saving the kids from being killed by a weapon, anything could be considered a weapon. So then you're going to have to open up the door, like we talked earlier, about the vehicles and the other stuff that could be used as weapons as well. You can't ban everything, but it's keeping them from dealing with the larger issue, and that issue is what is causing the people to react this way. What is going on with the mindset of human beings here in the United States of America where they feel like they've got the right to do this or they feel like they're obligated to do this? That's the reality. The mental health in this country is completely gone. Our kids today don't value themselves. How in the hell are they going to value me or you? But they don't want to deal with the socioeconomic crises that we face in this country that create this mindset. They don't want to deal with the fact that they have killed the American dream and have damn near killed the American spirit, because that would be too hard. Then they would have to do what? They would have to take personal responsibility. That's why they tell us we don't have to, because if we don't have to take personal responsibility, then they don't have to take personal responsibility, right?
That's right. That's right. Hey, I tell you what, you know, while we're talking about this, Ed, I don't know if you've seen the number being passed around, but we are urging, and this is a personal plea, everybody to call the Senate phone line. Do you mind if I give that real quick?
Sure, please do. Please do.
If you oppose this bill, if you're for it, you know, call it. It's your right. But if you oppose this bill, I would definitely urge all my friends out there or listeners here of the show to call 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. And that is going to be a call to the Senate in Washington, D.C. And you just, they'll tell you, you can tell them who your senator is. If you don't know, they'll find out. And you tell them yes or no. I personally will be calling and asking them to vote no on Feinstein's gold bill, gun bill.
Yeah, well, it is gold. It's gold for them.
It's gold now with the prices the way they were rising.
I hear you, my brother. I tell you what, it's time to wrap this show, man. Time flies when you're having fun. What's going on with Independent Kentucky right now? Anything you can share?
Well, yeah. I mean, Independent Kentucky is obviously a grassroots organization, always has been. You know, we use it a lot for a springboard for ideas. We got a new guy coming in. He's going to start helping us write, keeping the website up to date. So we'll be looking for some new articles coming out here in the beginning of the year. Where, of course, we're going to be talking with Senator Higdon about co-sponsoring our bill again. I believe Senator Leeper is the one that's going to be spearheading our bill. Our semi-open primary bill that we've been working on for, this will probably be our fifth or sixth year now. Wow, I'm going to have to check my dates. It's been quite a while. You know, Senator Leeper is probably going to spearhead our bill. You know, I've talked with him quite a few times. I was really excited personally about him running for Senate president as an independent. I know he caucuses with the GOP, but he, you know, a lot of people respect him for the way he governs, the way he works in Frankfort, and we obviously respect the you know what he does and him thinking about taking on this bill. It's something that he was going to pick up last year. I don't know if anybody is familiar with what we do, but last year Jimmy Higdon couldn't sponsor the bill. He just had so much he was trying to get done. And last year there was a lot of the pill mill bills and things like that Jimmy Higdon was working on, and Senator Leeper was going to pick it up, but it was too much of a transition for us with you know, with the time frame that we had. Last session was really odd for us, but we plan on being there full steam again this year, man. 2013, there's no elections. We're doing a registration drive. You know, we're trying to get people to register independent. You're not going to lose out on a primary voice. It's a great time to show, you know, send a message to Kentucky's elected officials, because they watch those numbers. So we're going to be trying to get tens of thousands of people to register independent this year.
That sounds awesome to me, man. We appreciate the updates. Thanks so much for calling in, Michael. I appreciate it. You know, for the rest of you guys, this is the final show for me this year. No show on Monday night, New Year's Eve. I'm going to let you guys have a night off. You know, Ken Mulman will be joining us on Sunday night, as usual, at 7 o'clock with his Liberty Unbridled show, and you'll definitely want to hear that one. And I've got to be honest with you, folks. You know, we're going to have a lot of things going on in the new year. There have been a lot of investigations going on by Louisville Politics, which is, you know, the primary focus of this show. And we've spent the past several months focusing on national issues with the presidential race and a divided Congress and the serious things going on in the nation. We switched gears and started spending a lot of time on national issues. But while we were focusing on reporting national issues, it gave us time to do some serious investigations to the local slant. For you guys who think you know Mayor Greg Fisher, you better think again. What's coming down the pike at the beginning of the year is going to be alarming. Him and his sister Lynn, folks, you don't even know what's coming. Think you know your council person? Think again. We're going to talk to you about Rick Blackwell and his lovers and the things that are going on in his council office. We've got three more Democrats that are on the hot seat. We've got two Republicans that are on the hot seat. Louisville politics is going to explode in 2013. Folks, you haven't seen nothing yet, so get ready for it. In the meantime, have a great night. I will be back on air Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Dale, of course, will be back next Thursday. Thanks so much for joining us. Michael, as always, a real pleasure hearing from you, my friend. And take care. Have a great night, folks. We'll see you soon.